in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, Matthew 28. And I'm just going to give a one-time, what I call a one-off message here. It's called the DNA of a New Testament church, that God has a purpose for your life. As Cheryl was sharing there from the book of Jonah, I thought about a whole message that was kind of coming out there again. I think I would entitle the message, you don't have to smell like a fish to get to where God wants you to go. Amen. It'd be a good message title. Amen. And that's what happened to Jonah. He did not have to smell like a fish. If he could have obeyed God in the first place, he would not have gone there in the belly of a fish. Okay? So God has a purpose for your life. Last year when I spoke here on Connection Sunday, I spoke about the DNA of an individual believer and a Christian. But several years ago, a show came out that was actually called CSI. CSI was kind of one of those breakthrough series that kind of broke the mold, and it showed for the first time bullets flying, it seems like, in slow motion. They showed DNA evidence being talked about. They showed forensics in a very, very detailed type sense. They showed teams working together and probably in laboratories that are much more clean than maybe in real life you might see, not being quite that fancy. But it's also a very, very intriguing series here because, again, it talks about how every one of us has a specific DNA that nobody else ever has had or ever will have or even does have on the face of the earth forever and forevermore. Forensic science is a very, very intriguing thing. And they played this song by The Who, the rock group called The Who, that says, who are you? And then one, of course, in Miami, Florida says, I won't be fooled again. I think my favorite one of the CSI series, they had one in New York, they had one in Las Vegas that began the whole thing. Then they had one also took place in Miami. I kind of like Miami's the best. I like the way that little guy that's got the red hair, the way he kind of stands, kind of a GQ type pose with his GQ clothes on there. And he always has a certain kind of voice. He kind of cocks his head there and always poses, it seems like, for the camera in his show. When this show came out again years ago, it was number 12 the first year of all the TV shows in American programs. The next year, it climbed to number one in our country. It was so popular and so intriguing. The year beyond that, the third year, it was number two still, and the show is still popular even to this day. That says, who are you? Again, DNA inside of us. God placed his fingerprint in us. And this DNA thing in the molecular type structure, the natural type realm, scientists tell us it's like coiled springs inside of our blood, inside of our body. If you take those coils and actually put them end to end, strand to strand, they would reach from here to the moon 6,000 times. There is that much DNA in every single human body on the face of the earth. And again, the fact is, no two humans have the same DNA at all, even though you can still trace your DNA back to your own mother and back to your own father. So they can find out things of families by DNA, but also DNA among sons, daughters, mothers, fathers is also not alike. It's not the same. It's actually different from person to person. So we take a spiritual scalpel now today. 2,000 years has gone by since Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. Take a spiritual scalpel and cut the body of Christ open today. We've got to ask ourselves the question this morning, does the New Testament church today have the same DNA that God placed in it 2,000 years ago? I want to give you some scriptures here from the first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also the book of Acts, to show you the spiritual DNA God placed in the New Testament church from the very beginning of creation. Now, the Bible also tells us we are members of the body of Jesus Christ. And so all of us have a particular DNA inside of us spiritually that God placed in us from the very foundations of the earth. God's got a call to you very specific. God knows the works he wants you to do even in advance. The Bible says that to us. But God also tells us the New Testament church also had their own specific DNA that God gave divine mandates to them to fulfill before Jesus Christ comes back the second time. How many folks believe today that Jesus Christ will be coming back before too much longer, even in human terms? I believe that myself as well. I'm seeing signs around us, not just in the realms of the demonic and the occultic and satanic. I'm seeing signs around us mainly in the realm of the spirit. We're seeing fulfilling of God's word, God's prophecies, that the end is very, very near as far as Jesus Christ coming back to the earth is concerned. The good news is all the pain, all the agony, all the things you see around you on this earth is very, very fleeting. It's very, very temporal. It will not be like this forever. I want to say to you guys one more time again today, the only hell that a believer will ever know in their whole eternal existence is their lives on this earth. And the only heaven a non-believer ever will see in their entire eternal existence will be also on this earth. So understand again that Christ, the Bible, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die would be so much better, but as long as I am alive, a life I do now live, I do live by faith in the Son of God. And I choose and I decide every single day, this will be the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day. And I do believe that God's come to give life that's more abundant, even in this life, as God only can do that in a fallen world around us. If you would examine and look at the DNA of the New Testament believers back in the books of Acts and the books of all the epistles and so forth, you'd find the primary thing that was in their blood, in their spiritual DNA, was they all had a life of divine purpose. God placed in them, inside of them, His Holy Spirit. And from that came a zeal, a love for God, revelation of who Jesus Christ really was. And then God began to speak to them by His apostles, by His word, by doctrinal even foundations, what the purpose was, why they were alive on the earth. I found again the main question all of us must answer ourselves is, why am I here and why do I exist on the face of the earth? Why did God, 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Eve sinned back in the Garden of Eden, not just wipe out Adam and Eve and start all over again with a brand new creation upon the earth? Bind Satan, bind demons, kill Adam, kill Eve, and start all over again. Well, the Bible tells us, I knew you from the foundations of the earth. You see, God made every one of our spirits first. And then God made all creation after that. The Bible says that. God made all of your spirits first over 6,000 years ago. And then God put your spirit in your body in the year, whatever, 1959, 1965, 1943, whatever's going to be there. God put your spirit in your body by divine appointment. God's got a plan for your life. And so God would not wipe out Adam and Eve and all their offspring because God says, I knew you from the foundations of the earth. I will suffer your sin. I'll go through all the grievances of cancer and disease and sickness and wars and injustice throughout all the ages of the earth, because I do know there's going to be a people that will be, that will rise up there called the body of Jesus Christ, and they will rule and reign with me forever and ever and evermore. And it is worth it. All the pain I see around the earth, it will be worth it once Jesus Christ is revealed and the sons of God come forth and they have a purpose to be fulfilled in their lives upon the earth. Amen. Let's look now at this first one, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. What is the purpose for us being alive upon the earth? I want to also say today that the first thing that the apostles trained by Jesus for 3.5 years did is they established a local church. The local church is not man's idea. The local church is God's idea. God also showed the fivefold ministry working in those local churches, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. They all worked together in teamwork. And the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4, they were actually used to prepare God's people for works of service themselves. There was too much unemployment in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? I want to say it again. There's too much unemployment in the body of Jesus Christ. God wants there to be full employment in every local church across this entire nation and even throughout the world itself. So part of Connection Sunday is helping us find full employment in this church, in this body. It's also good today to see Tim Mers back here. Tim had a real battle this past week here with the hospital. And he might have had West Nile virus. He's being healed right now. So we're praying for him that God's totally raising him up here as he gets some reports again in a day or two. Okay, Matthew 28 now. Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. This is the New King James Version. And it says that this is what's called the Great Commission. Now, for some folks, it's called the Great Omission, but for our church, it's going to be called the Great Commission. Amen? So it says, go, therefore, and make, not converts, make disciples of all the nations. That word nations is the word ethnos, which means ethnic groups or people groups. Make disciples of all people groups across the entire earth, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when we baptize folks in this church, we do use total immersion, but we don't take and dunk them three times. Name of the Father, dunk. Name of the Son, dunk. And name of the Holy Spirit, dunk. We just say those three names and baptize them in Jesus' name one time. Amen? Now, those that are ornery get held down longer, perhaps, but The main thing is we do use immersion. They do get baptized. It's a symbol of dying to ourself and being raised up to Jesus Christ, like going through the Red Sea there, being baptized on both sides as water of the Egyptians. The water closed down upon the Egyptians, killed them. The Israelites come through in salvation on dry ground. So if you want to get baptized in water, please let us know in our church office or even talk to me myself. We'll start a list here. We do water baptisms about every 6 months or so at a church by Sam's Club. We can do that for you or your children as well if they have not been water baptized. It's actually a command that God gives us, not as part of salvation, but as part of obedience to your salvation. Amen? You're not saved by baptism, but you're actually obeying God by being baptized. So moving on here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. One evangelist said this proves that God doesn't want us flying in airplanes, because God says, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. Doesn't really mean that, amen? But he says, I will be with you until Jesus Christ comes back, the end of this age, and new things happen, new heavens, new earth. I shall be with you every day. That's good news. That means no matter what takes place with the Antichrist or with the Middle East or radical Islam, he says, I will be with you until the end of the age. Then with you forever and ever, evermore, face to face in your new glorified body. So praise God. That's what's called the Great Commission that God gives us. Jesus Christ has been crucified now. He's been raised from the dead. And before ascending now to the Father, he gives what's called the last will and testament and the purpose for the church, New Testament church, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, is called the Great Commission for the body of Christ. Now let's see the next book is called Mark. Mark gets straight to the point like Mark does. Still speaking by the Holy Spirit inspiration. It says here in chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's just as succinct in one sentence as you can get. What is the gospel? What's the gospel mean? It means good news. So the good news is there's got to be bad news first. The bad news comes out first. All men are lost, dying in their sins. You must be born again. You need a savior. You can't save yourself. That's the bad news. The gospel good news is Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was a sinless sacrifice. By his death, burial, resurrection, you now can receive forgiveness of your sins. God the Father received his Son and said, you are a sacrifice worthy of all men's sins to be forgiven, to call upon the name of the Lord. If they'll confess their sins and believe in Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. So there's good news following the bad news. It's called the gospel being preached to every creature, every human on the face of the earth. Let's go to the next gospel, which is the gospel of Luke. Now, Luke is a doctor, a physician. Like Dr. Flint knows, physicians are very, very thorough. They'll give you a diagnosis. They'll give you reasons for what you have and then give you a prescription and say, take your aspirins or two pills, antibiotics, and see me in the morning. This is how Luke also does by the Holy Spirit inspiration when he says in Luke chapter, the chapter I've written down here, Luke 46, 49, in the last chapter, I believe, of Luke. And it says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all ethnos, ethnic group, people group, nations upon the earth. Beginning, notice this, beginning at Jerusalem. And it says, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. So God is saying here through Luke again, the prescription for you to preach the gospel to every nation is, first of all, wait in your hometown and receive the power of the Holy Spirit there, and then go out there in the love, the grace, and the power of the Holy Spirit and preach to all nations, all ethnos, the gospel of Jesus Christ. John goes on, the fourth gospel, John, simplifies what the others say. That's why all new converts should read the book of John, first of all, because John tells you who Jesus is in a very, very understandable, simple type way as well. So John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He says, the purpose that I have is now the purpose that you have. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. What he's saying there is, what you saw me do, Jesus, that's now what your mandate, your purpose is in life. You follow me, you exemplify me, imitate me, and do what I did on the face of the earth. The good news also, the Bible said, because I go to the Father and the Spirit of God now stays upon the earth, greater things than what I did shall you do is what Jesus Christ told the early church years ago. So praise God, Christ did a whole lot upon the earth in 3.5 years, but he said, greater things than these shall you do, the body of Christ, before I come back upon the earth. Now the last one, number 5, is Acts chapter 1, Acts 1 verse 8. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to all the uttermost parts and the end of the earth. He's saying that God starts out first in Austin, then he goes to Texas, then he goes to all of America, then he goes to every nation across the entire face of the earth to see the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. These 5 witnesses tell us, first of all, the purpose of the church, New Testament church, number 1 is to fulfill the Great Commission and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to every ethnos, every nation, every tribe before Jesus Christ comes back upon the face of the earth. Amen. We're going to do our part here at Tree of Life Church to fulfill the Great Commission with the giftings and callings, talents and finances that God's given us. Now, praise God, we're already seeing ourselves doing some things overseas to help impact the nations on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. But we can do more. There's always the biggest room in our church. You might have saw the vision I put out here for our newcomers luncheon. It's called the rooms in the house. But the biggest room we have in this church called Tree of Life Church is the room for improvement. That's our biggest room. We can improve every room in this house, amen? And so we're going to see that big room of improvement get better and better, being more effective to fulfill the Great Commission more and more as the years go by. You know, Jack Adams and I just came back from a missions conference about 3 days ago in Dallas. It was done by Global Advance. Global Advance is run by a man named Dr. David Shibley, who now has the biggest leadership ministry in the entire earth, as far as we know. They've had over 900,000 leaders across the nations come through their conferences in the past 10, 15 years upon the earth. He told us, he showed us a young Indian pastor that spoke during one of the sessions there. He showed how they're right now targeting the very last of the unreached people groups in the nation of India, 1.3 billion people living in India today. Of those 1.3 billion people in India, 75% are under the age of 35. 75% under 35 years of age, and they are ripe to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are tens of millions getting saved in India every single year right now. You may not see a massive revival and harvest happening in America right now today. That is not the case across the earth. In third world nations, below in the southern part of our world especially, people are getting saved by the millions every single month in the world. Amen? And we're actually seeing missionaries being sent out more so now by Latin American nations and by Oriental and Asian nations, more so than even America today, as we're seeing now the third wave of missions take place upon the earth. This man showed us a graph that shows how they're targeting some provinces and looks like states in America in the northern part of India. The most unreached part of that nation is northern India. And they're showing little provinces there, like they're kind of like counties that targets little villages that are going to be reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ before the year 2020. They say by 2020, we will have reached every single unreached group for the gospel of Jesus Christ by doing what God told us to do in this nation. We're seeing it taking place all over the earth, in China, in Tibet, in Vietnam, North Korea, so forth. People are being targeted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very, very important to realize that's what God told us in Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, ethnos, people groups, and then the end will come. That is the primary sign of Christ's return, is every ethnos, people group hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're only a few years from that right now, even today. 2 Peter 3, verse 12, it says, Do all you can to speed the return of Jesus Christ back to the earth once again. Do your part to speed the return of Jesus. And so Christ wants to come back. God wants to send his son back, but God is waiting for the church to have his DNA in them to take the Great Commission seriously and preach the gospel to all nations upon the face of the earth. I want to move on to your purpose now, because you don't confess your purpose. You actually discover your purpose. You can't confess. You can't speak out. You can't manufacture your purpose for your life. Amen? God's got a purpose for you from the foundation of the earth. You must discover that purpose by what our guest speaker said a few weeks back. You must die to yourself and then live to Jesus Christ. Unless a seed of a grain of corn or wheat falls in the ground and dies, the Bible said it abides by itself. What that means there is, it cares about its needs, its family, its retirement, its comfort, its things and stuff. It abides by itself, becomes very self-preserving. But if it goes in the ground and dies like Jesus Christ, it shall be raised up to life, and it shall multiply and become the full-blown grain and head of corn or the head of wheat that God called it to become from the foundations of the earth. I'm believing God again in these last days. We're going to see a move of the Holy Spirit that brings us into a place of brokenness and a place of softness and a place of tenderness here, so God can rain down his rain upon us from heaven and cause many seed to spring up and let folks realize their purpose and destinies upon the earth, and then do those things with zeal, with might and direction and teamwork and humility and anointing and power in Jesus' name. Amen? It's what God's desire is for the church in this hour. So you're going to find also the purposes of God that God calls you to are hinged on the first two commandments. What's the first two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then love your neighbor as you love yourself. It says all the law, all the prophets hang on those two commandments. Your purpose in life hinges on fulfilling those first two commandments. You must first of all love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can't make you do that. I cannot preach you into that. I can't pray you into that. You must decide yourself that Jesus Christ is not just your Savior. He is the Lord of all of your life. And say, Father God, reveal yourself to me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, O God. Let me see your love, your grace, your might, your power, your glory, your strength, your kindness, your compassion, all the things that God wants to reveal to us that would cause you to love him more and more and more. God wants to reveal that to you more than you can ever ask or think or imagine. Because God's a God of relationships. God's a God of love. And God wants to show himself to you strong and mighty and worthy of all of your passion, worthy of all of your life upon this earth. Amen? Whenever you start loving God like that, he says automatically, I'm going to cause you to start loving people and loving yourself. You see, many believers even don't even like themselves. They think about their past, their failures, their regrets, their mistakes, things they've done. They don't even like themselves. And God says you must start loving yourself and seeing yourself the way I see you. Not the way you were, the way you are in my sight. Praise God for Mike Hammond's word last Sunday morning. That we don't need to actually feel righteous, try to make ourselves righteous. We are righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't make yourself holy. You don't make yourself loved. You are loved. You are holy because God says you are. Amen? So God says live like that, act like that, do righteously, live holy because you already are righteous, you are loved, and you are holy. Amen? And once you see who you are in Jesus Christ, you're going to start finding yourself loving people then as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love people. How many folks know that hurt people will hurt people? Folks that hate themselves will hate others. Whatever your heart's full of, the Bible says your mouth speaks it out. And so let your treasures be filled up with what God says about you. Sometimes you can hear what God says by TV programs that are Christian programs, Christian praise and worship songs. Fill your hearts and minds with things about God. Let God reveal himself to you in that way that you might love yourself, love people the way that God loves you. Amen? So Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I found the purposes of God are not hard to find out. And I found that what God does, he says in Psalm 37:4, don't turn there. Psalm 37:4 also says, delight yourself in me. Make me the delight of your life, and I will then give you the desires of your heart. Not desires for a new Lexus or a $2 million house, perhaps. God gives you His desires for what you're called to be on the earth. You're going to start, stop saying, I won't go to India. I won't go to Kenya. I won't go to East Austin because I don't like to go to those places like that. God will make His desires for you become your desires. His desires become your desires once you make Him the delight of your life. Amen? And so God will cause you to want to do some things, to volunteer in some ways and serve in some ways that you might have said in the past, I don't want to do that, because God will change your desires as you delight yourself in Him. And I've also found out that, that what God does also, your desires that God gives you are, is what's also called your easy button. That old Staples commercial, it showed the easy button. We've all got an easy button in us because His Word says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That means whatever God calls you to do, God anoints you for that. God gives you wisdom for that. God gives you intelligence for that. God gives you DNA for that. Amen? I heard one guy talking about praise and worship in great extent years ago. He said scientists have even found out that the DNA of musicians is different from musician to musician. He said those that are drawn towards strings have a different DNA than those that are drawn toward percussion. So that means Johnny's DNA is not going to be like Dave Sanders' DNA. Dave is drawn toward picking and grinning, towards things with strings, amen? Johnny's drawn toward pounding on things, percussion. Susan's drawn toward singing and vocalizing things out, different kind of a DNA inside of her. Those that blow trumpets and brass have different DNAs than those that play on drums. They found that there's a difference there, how God puts that, God plants those desires in you from the very foundation of the earth. Never be ashamed of being an engineer, a teacher, a lawyer, a mechanic. Those are all DNAs God has placed inside your life because God knows what you're best for. God says, I need every person in the body of Christ to find their place, fulfill their destinies, to see my will accomplished on the face of the earth. Amen? So now I'm going to read Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Praise God. What it also means here is don't criticize those who don't have your desires in your DNA. If you're a passionate intercessor for Jesus Christ, I believe all believers are called to intercessory prayer and prayer. Amen? But not all of us have the same passion for intercessory prayer that full-blown intercessors will have. What they should do, though, is intercessors should train the body of Christ to intercede. Train them to pray. Evangelists have a great passion for soul winning. We're all called to be soul winners for Jesus Christ. Amen? But not all of us are as good at doing that as evangelists are. But evangelists are trained, also are called by God to train us in the body of Christ to evangelize and win souls for Jesus Christ. Because we all have a measure in us of that DNA called fulfilling the Great Commission. And so all of us that are teachers and that are prophets and that are counselors still have a measure in us of God's DNA to win souls for Jesus Christ, to pray for Jesus Christ. And so all of us have that inside of us to a measure, and it should be utilized and trained in us by God's church and God's people. So moving on here again, I found that God's power, God's favor, God's anointing, and God's success will be wherever God leads us to be at and nowhere else. Amen? We need God's power, God's love, God's success, God's anointing. It'll be where God guides you to be at. Let's look now at 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world is passing away. Amen. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever and ever and evermore. Now, praise God, do throw yourself in the trash cans. Do get paper instead of plastic sometimes, once in a while, amen. But the fact is, the world is passing away. Our oceans, our mountains, our streams, our atmosphere is going to be passing away until Jesus Christ comes back. New heavens and new earth, amen. So be assured of the environment. Don't worship the environment, okay? It's going to pass away. Now, verse 20 goes on and says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, that sounds pretty vast. I know all things. What this actually means here in the Greek language is you know everything by God's Spirit that God wants you to know to do what God's called you to do on the face of the earth. As I was driving back home from Dallas with Jack Adams and Terry Pruitt from another church, who I've known for years now. This guy's a very, very successful businessman. Terry Pruitt said, my father has actually started and sold 8 businesses in his life. He's got an entrepreneur spirit inside of him. He's anointed by God to know what to jump onto, what's going to bring money in. He'll get it to a certain level there, then he'll sell the thing for a profit and jump onto something else. He said, my dad has never been bankrupt, never missed a payment on a bill, never found himself in dire straits. He's always had money in his pocket every day of his life. He's done 8 businesses, bought them, got them prosperous, and then sold them for a profit every time. Terry said his mom died about 4 to 5 years ago. His dad's now retired. For the fun of it, he went out and bought a Greyhound bus. And then he now takes that bus and drives folks that are retired from Houston to the casinos of Alabama and fills those buses up 2 times a week and goes from there to Pensacola to naval base there. And he makes tons of money doing that as a retirement kind of fun thing to do in the latter parts of his life. God's given that guy an easy button. He finds those things easy to jump on something like that, know what to jump onto and make money from that. Whatever God calls you to do in life, it's going to be easy for you to do that, and God will breathe on that every time. Amen? Look upstairs sometime at our children's church room, in our youth room. A guy named Raymond Rodriguez from Shoreline, the old days there of children's ministry where he was at years ago, he and a friend painted our youth room and our children's church room in only about a day and a half. I couldn't believe how fast those guys were moving. They've got great art up there. They got boards and buildings and trees, and they've got tufts of grass and sky and clouds and all kind of things like that. They were just going 500 miles an hour, just spraying and just going back and forth. In a day and a half, had the whole thing done and finished. It was so easy for them to do that. What God calls you to do will be easy for you, because God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Let's write down 5 what Pastor Mike called last week take home points. I like that better. Take home points. 5 ways to find God's purpose in a nutshell for your life. 5 take home points. Number 1 on the screen here. Know the real desire of your heart. Know the real desire of your heart. I told you guys in my own life, I thought I wanted to be a CPA. I wanted to be an accountant, I thought, and make a certain amount of money per year and so forth and so on. When God got a hold of my life, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God turned my world upside down, and God began revealing the real desires of my heart. Do you realize in my first week of getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gave me visions of going to Africa, weeping over thousands of people there who had hurts and wounds and bruises there. And I'm seeing how God fulfills that, and God has been fulfilling that kind of thing as the years have been going by in my life. God put a pastor's heart in me over 30-some years ago. So know the real desires, God's desires of your heart. You might be going in one direction, and God says you're going in your own direction. That's not my direction for you. I got a better plan for more fruit for your life. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. You will show me the path, not of death, but of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What I see here is God's got a path he's put out before us that's not hard to find. But he says, narrow is the path that leads to life. Broad is a path that leads to destruction. That broad path is what's called the path of least resistance. The narrow path means you dying to yourself, seeking God's face, reading God's word, being involved in a local church like this, and God makes that narrow path become very evident to you. And in that path, he says, there shall be peace, there shall be life, there shall be my presence among you, and I shall lead you, guide you, direct you forevermore, is what God is saying to us. I also believe that what God's saying here is, if you love engineering work on the earth, God's going to make you a divine engineer somehow, some way in the life to come as you rule and reign with him forevermore. Amen? I don't see none of you guys doing boring things in heaven forevermore. What you like on the earth, God will use your giftings and talents somehow, some way in the heavenly realms forever and evermore as you rule and reign with him over all creation, over all the universe, as eons of time goes by. Amen? When you find your passion, it'll also become contagious. What do you love in life so much, it becomes contagious to folks around you when they get around you as well? You know, Cheryl was getting kind of tired about this whole motorcycle thing happening there, but what took place was I went into a motorcycle shop to look at motorcycles to rent one, and these guys that are motorcycle salesmen are passionate about their job. They say, look at this Harley. This thing's got six gears. This thing's got 1.6 liters. And they, look at this, this. And I saw their passion about these motorcycles. I said, man, I want to go to that thing and ride that thing. Because their passion became contagious. I need to get Cheryl on those shops as well. Let her sit on one of these motorcycles. Let her kind of rev the engine up a little bit there. A little smaller bike, perhaps. Moped shop. To start out with. Very dangerous, very dangerous. Amen? Second one, number two, know what flows naturally with your gifts and your talents. Know what flows naturally with your gifts and talents. Jesus said again, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That means again that whatever God calls you to do, you're going to find it comes to you almost naturally, it seems like, in your life. I see Alan Hawes sometimes work on woodwork and work on things around our building. He just very easily cuts boards, nails things together, glues things, gets the right tool out there. It all just flows naturally for him because God has wired him for that. Amen. I see Mary Lee Monchaka talk to folks that are brand new guests in our church. She has a gift to be able to talk to folks, make them feel comfortable, make them feel welcome, smile, be warm towards them. It just kind of comes naturally to her. That's what God's wired her to be in life. God's got you also naturally wired in a supernatural way to be a blessing to others somehow, some way. Number three, get advice from mature believers around you. Get advice from mature believers around you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. You know, I'm very excited to say that in about 10 days from now, on September the 5th, on a Wednesday night, our youth take over the entire service. They're going to run the worship, run the praise. They're going to preach, testify, whatever. And so I want you adults to try to be here to support them that day, 10 days from now, September the 5th. Try to be here because these youth have got giftings and callings in them. They need our encouragement. They need our compliments. They need our support. They need our prayers. They need our mentorship in their lives somehow, some way. Amen. And so I'm saying again, gifts, get advice from mature believers. Our youth need that in their lives, but also other believers also need that, their new converts especially. Then number four, listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first key to that, of course, is be able to discern what is the Holy Spirit. Get close to God, talk to God, let God talk back to you. Get used to God's voice. The Bible says, my sheep, not my goats, my sheep know my voice. What's the difference between sheep and goats? You see, goats always say, yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Amen? That's what goats do. What do? Sheep go, Abba, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. They're always knowing they want to get close to God, close to the Father. They're soft. They're gentle. They're meek. They work together in ranks. They don't butt like goats do. They say, Abba, Father. Amen? Bah, ram you. I love that. That's also, isn't that a great line? Bah, ram you. That's from that. What's that show called? Babe. Anybody's got kids knows Babe. Amen? Be a sheep, not a goat. Amen? Listen for the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take and lead you to a place, normally, first of all, to test your faithfulness in a place of another man's vision, first of all. Don't think that most of the time God's going to put you in your exact giftings and callings first. God will cause you to, first of all, serve somebody else in their giftings, their callings, their field. When you're faithful in that place, then God will give you your own field in due time. Amen? You see that with the life of Ruth. Ruth goes to Boaz. Ruth finds herself harvesting grain in the heat of the sun in a barley harvest place. Mother-in-law Naomi says, do not go to another man's field. You might be harmed over there. Stay in the field of Boaz. He is your kinsman redeemer. He has your best interests in mind. Don't go anywhere else. Get his harvest in your heart. Do his harvest. Get behind the servant girl, she's told. And through that, she becomes a wife of Boaz. Gets her own field in due time. Look also at David. The Bible says David was found keeping his father's sheep in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness there. while Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel. Because he was faithful in small things to his own father's sheep, God gave him his own armies and great big crowds of sheep in due time in his life. Third, also look at Elisha, the prophet. Elisha served under Elijah for many, many years. God blessed him with what? A double anointing upon his life. The Bible says Elisha did two times the miracles exactly as Elijah did. The sad thing about Elisha, though, was Elisha kept the anointing in himself, did not pass his mantle on to anybody else. May we not be like Elisha in that way. May we pass on what God's put in us to our youth, our children, young believers, and let it go on to them somehow, some way with God's help. Amen. Last of all, number five. Number five is what produces good results in your life? What do you do that God actually breathes on? What brings forth good results in your life? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. What that means is, if God's behind what you're doing for him, there shall be good fruit take place from what you're doing. Amen? You know, nobody in this church can put chairs out like Greg Shook can. Greg's got all these chairs marked for the right place. God's got this whole, Greg has a whole place kind of lined up here, not just down here, but upstairs as well. Nobody can do what Greg does the way that Greg does that, because he's got anointing for that, to be doing that in a righteous, right, godly, orderly way. Amen? And so it comes to him in a great way. It brings forth lasting fruit. It brings forth divine order. We all need Greg in the church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's all vote Greg in. Yes. How many folks know our sound crew? They do all these graphics, all this computer work, all this microphone work, all the battery work, all the guys that are singing up here on the platform, the lights and so forth. We all need our sound crew, because they've got giftings, callings, and talents we need them to have to make this work like this on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and beyond. Amen? We need our sound crew. They're hired. Amen? Honey, folks, appreciate Cindy and Ida back in the nursery. These guys love babies, love preschoolers, have ministered to them for years and years and years. They see details I don't see. They see details some of you guys don't see yourselves. They can train folks. They can equip folks. They can be also what I call contagious for loving babies in Jesus' name. So I'm saying fill those nurseries up with Cindy and Iday's help. With all these guys working together here, we're going to see our babies blessed, prepared, ministered to, anointed, and going on to other levels in Jesus Christ once they leave our nurseries. Amen. Also, our praise and worship team. I most appreciate James and Susan and Iris and Tiffany and all our musicians here. These guys have DNA inside of them that God's going to bring those things out, brings out the praise, brings out the worship, brings out the talents, brings out the abilities. We praise God for them. We rejoice in them and for them. Amen. Because they are contagious. What they do goes into us, and it goes into our cars, our houses, our workplace, our homes. And praise God, the praise of God that comes inside this place here permeates the entire neighborhood, I believe, for Jesus Christ. All the folks in place in this church are needed by God in their own giftings, their own callings, their own spiritual DNA. They might be those who do God's part to expand God's kingdom on the face of the earth. So today is a day called Connection Sunday. And we're striving today again to have, as close as we can, to having full employment in this church. If you're newer here at a Tree of Life Church, I'm not saying to rush into things, sign up for things, because you might be going through a season right now of just getting refreshed, getting restored, knowing folks around you. The Bible says, know those who labor among you as well. It's very wise to do that sometimes for a season. But I'm saying, don't put yourself on the shelf too long. Don't gather too much holy dust. Amen? Dust yourself off in Jesus' name in due time and due season. Put your hand to the plow. See what God breathes on. Serve another man's house, another man's ministry for a season. Not just mine, but folks around our church as well. And see how God brings promotion to your life, and God will expand your life somehow, some way. You know, on short-term missions trips, these guys that came back from Costa Rica can testify to this as well. I've never seen anybody go to a short-term missions trip and not come back revived for Jesus Christ, because God uses their giftings and callings in dramatic fashions in a short amount of time. God shows them, I am in you. I want to work through you. What you did there, you can also do here. And greater works than these shall you do, because your life goes on for many months beyond that short-term missions trip. That's what I hear God saying. Let's bow our head and close our eyes now for a moment as James comes back to the platform to help us out as well. I'm going to let Kristen.